There's a very interesting pasuk that doesn't make any sense. In the middle of Yaakov building a mizbeach, they grow lemakom kiel be'el be'sel, he calls it be'sel, shem nigel lahav. So this is a very dramatic moment. He turns to be'sel, and then skip a pasuk later, Hashem appears to him by Yivarach Oso, Shim Chalak Yaakov, Lo Yikarei Ot Shim Chal Yaakov Kim Yisrael. So Hashem renames him. So pasuk A is about Yaakov reaching Beis El, building a mizbeach. Pasuk C is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Yaakov when he's in Beis El and changing his name. You would think that A and C should be connected and it shouldn't be a B. So B talks about Rivka's wet nurse assistant called Devorah, who dies and is buried in Beis El, underneath a tree, which they call Alon Bachus. So all of a sudden, we care about a Menekes who dies and is buried there. We're talking about Yaakov building the Mizbeach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to him. So, of course, Ramban quotes the very famous Medrash that this is a reference to not just Devorah, the Menekes Rivka dying, but Rivka herself dying. So the question is, and I'll just summarize because I know it's late, why does the Torah not mention Rivka's death explicitly? Why does it have to allude to it? Why is Rivka's death covered up? Okay, her wet nurse died. She was buried under the tree, and they call this the tree of mourning, and such a big deal about a nurse called Devorah, who we don't really know much about. Evidently, it's Rivka as well, not just Devorah. So if it's Rivka that's really taking center stage, why is her death obscured? So the Ramban basically quotes a medrash that says, because it was a very sad burial, because there was really no one to bury her. Because Yaakov wasn't back yet in Chevron, and Yitzchak was blind, so he really couldn't bury her. And Esav was out to lunch. He's certainly not going to bury Rivka, because Rivka's not exactly the mommy that he loves. So there's no one to bury Rivka. So therefore, because it was a little bit under the radar, the Torah doesn't mention it. And also, separate reason the Medrash says, because too much of a big deal about the cemetery, they put out announcements about the funeral, everyone would come and half the crowd would be talking about Esav. Oh, that murderer, that killer, that incestuous, yeah. Look at this mother that died. So instead of being Masvid Rivka, they would have spent their whole time talking about Esav. So therefore, it's a very under the radar, very quiet kvura. So the question is, the Ramban says, who actually buried her? So if Yitzchak was blind and Yaakov was away and Esav was out to lunch, so who actually buried Rivka? The answer is, Ramban says, the locals. Who are the locals? The living in Chevron, the B'nai Chais. That's interesting. So Ramban doesn't talk about this, now me speaking. So that turns Rivka's burial to a whole different event. It's very quiet. It's very under the radar. No Yitzchak because he's blind. No Yaakov. Certainly no Esav. But what does it turn Rivka's death into? Basically, the people of Chevron reaffirming the sale to Avram of Maris Machpelah by voluntarily burying Rivka and acceding that land to the Jewish people as their burial place. You can imagine when Avram died, Yitzchak and Yishmael buried. Not all the people cooperated. We don't know who attended. Maybe they had to do it in the middle of the night because this was still contentious. In the beginning of Chayyusar, Maris Machpelah is still under dispute. It's still a contentious issue. As much as he buys it, you realize it. You see the negotiations. Negotiations weren't very smooth. So who knows how Yitzchak and Yishmael buried Avram. But when Rivka dies, there's really no one to bury her. So you think she'd be put into some roadside grave. The answer is she's buried in Maris Machpelah because the people of Chevron, the B'nai Ches, are now agreeing and acknowledging this has been sold to the Jewish people. Which means that basically every death in Bereishis is an event and accomplishes something in every burial. So Sarah's death is acquiring Maris Machpelah. Avram's death is Yitzchak and Yishmael Rapprochman. Rivka, Yaakov's death, obviously. Yosef's death, obviously. So we tend to look at the burials and say, for Bereishis, just a person died and he has to be buried. Almost every person, even Rivka, their death has a purpose. Rachel's death, obviously. The only death that I haven't been able to think of any reason, any larger impact, is Leah's death. Like what did Leah's death accomplish? What did her burial accomplish? But every other death of our Avos and Imos has some larger historical impact. B'chayem uvimosam, they were affecting history. Okay, one other pasuk, and it's very, very quick. We've got to get you guys to breakfast and share. Is that after this whole episode with Reuven, so now Yaakov counts the Shvatim, and the Shvatim ve'yibin Yaakov shnei masar, and it's actually a parsha, a break in the middle of a pasuk, to show that there's some need to bring something in from the other parsha, make it one pasuk. It really belongs to the other parsha, it's back to the previous parsha. What's the previous parsha? The whole episode with Reuven and Bila. So Rashi says, or Ramban quotes the Rashi, remembers that this shows that as, what's the word for deviant, or as, disrespectful, as Reuven may have been to his father, Yaakov still counted him amongst the 12 Shvatim, which is a story of Tshuva. The Ramban quotes the Medrash, but adds one word. So when we read the one word, the Ramban adds. Ramban says, Vayishma Yisrael, okay, Sipra Kasav Invesanusa, Kishama Bechala Binu Yitzima Velasivish Yitzumi Beso. Yaakov heard about Reuben's event, he didn't get angry, he didn't criticize him, he counted him amongst the 12, and this shows how great a father Yaakov was, probably. But what does it show? How humble a person, how humble he was, Invesanusa. Such an important part of being a good father is being a humble person. Because you're in a natural position of authority, and anytime you're in a natural position of authority, you have to make yourself less big, not larger, smaller. So one of the traits of Yaakov as being a good father is not that he took him out for baseball games, took him out to McDonald's, went on father-son road trips. Those are all good, not the McDonald's part. But took him out to Russia, those are all good. But kosher McDonald's in Israel. But that he was an anav. Because if you're an honor, first of all, modesty and humility is something you have to train people, have to see role models. You can't teach it from a safer. It's hard to describe it. You have to see people that are humble. Second of all, people respect people who don't impose their authority and are humble about their authority. That actually, ironically, makes your authority more acceptable to people rather than strong arms, strong fisted people who superimpose their authority on you. At a certain point, you say, you know, I don't want this. You're shoving authority down my throat. You know, if I want it, I'll take it. So Yaakov's invesanuso, his humility, b'chol makom shatamosek, b'lasu shalakadosh baruch hu, shamatamosek invesanuso, he gets that trade from Makom Shbaruch. Go get some breakfast, everyone. You guys have shiur. I'll do the shiur very, very quickly for you, okay?